The Pasha this week is the Pasha of Vo'era. And on the sheets in front of you, you can see on page number one, in the lower left-hand corner, the Torah begins the Pasha with the following expression. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. So what's striking about this pasuk are a number of fairly self-evident points. One, there are two verbs that are used. One, the verb of Vayidaber, and that seems to parallel the second verb in the pasuk, namely Vayomer. So we have to distinguish between these two terms that are used repeatedly throughout Tanakh, sometimes the language of Dibur, sometimes the language of Amira. We do have some sources to draw upon in order to make this distinction. If you recall, in Parshas Yisro, before Matan Torah in Perek Yutes, the Torah uses the following language. Kosomar lebeis Yaakov v'sagei lebnei Yisrael. So Rashi there comments that Amira, since we are speaking to women, we're going to use soft tones. Lishon Raka. We'll do so in a very soft kind of way. We will soft pedal. We'll do it with a tremendous degree of moderation. So Amira apparently has in it the element of a conversation that's very pleasant. However, the language of Visaged, which is a stronger language, Rashi says we are speaking to men. We have to speak a bit more firmly, a bit more resolutely, a bit more strongly. As a matter of fact, when one sees the term Visaged, one's reminded of a sugim sochim. The Gemara is a machlokes and daf chabez. Yesh begin beno sintam, hen begin beno sintam. But the language of Gid refers, of course, to the Gid Anoshe, which is a very sinewy, very wiry, tough kind of organ. So now we're asking about Dibur and Amira. Apparently the contrast must be of a similar nature, that Amira is Lashon Raka, and Dibur apparently happens to be of a stronger nature. But secondly, there's another distinction which is fairly obvious, namely the Shem Hashem, the two different Shemus of Hashem that are being utilized in the Pasuk. The Torah begins by speaking Vayidaber Elokim, and then the Shem of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And that's also a well-known distinction. Elokim refers to Midas Adin. The Ramban writes in Chumash, Elokim represents Hashem in Teva, in nature. Hashem created the world with certain immutable laws of nature, laws of biology, laws of chemistry. That is clearly embedded in Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis. The entire Perek Aleph, of course, is completely and totally enveloped with the Shem Elokim. Bereishis bar Elokim. Es ha-shamayim es ha-aretz. Vayomer Elokim yi-or, vayi-or. Vayar Elokim es ha-or ki-tov. Vayadel Elokim ben ha-or v'en-achoshech. Vayikor Elokim la-or yom v'achoshech or aloyla. And on and on. Only in Perek Beis do we encounter suddenly a hybrid. B'yom b'ro Hashem Elokim eres v'shamayim. The Shem Hashem is introduced. So there Rashi comments that Hashem realized if the world's going to be operating with Midas Adin, it won't be able to survive. So Hashem had to essentially combine Midas Adin with Midas HaRachamim. And that we'll see in Midas Hashem in a bit. So here we have a pasuk that seems to be, by definition, has in it elements of contradiction, almost a kind of oxymoron. On the one hand, Elokim, Ayidaber, on the other hand, Amira, Shem Yutei Vavkei, which is the Midah Rachamim. And the Torah goes on to describe that Hashem appears to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the Kel Shakai, and the Gam HaKimosi as Brisi Yitom Lo Seis Lehem as Eretz Kenan. So what exactly is this introduction? What is it all about? So take a look at the psukim prior to that, that are right before, in the end of Shemos, on page number one, lower left-hand corner, the last few psukim starting with the Maftir. We know exactly what happened prior to that. We have taskmasters who are maltreating Klal Yisrael. And beside the Avodas Perach, the backbreaking labor they were subjected to, we also know that Paro decided to increase the heat. Paro decided to tax them and impose upon them even more stringencies, namely, no longer am I going to provide them with straw. They're going to have to go ahead and put together bricks without straw, essentially put together bricks almost without raw materials. And of course, they were not able to do so successfully. They're literally scrounging all over Mitzrayim to look for straw in order to put together these bricks. And the taskmasters are on the case, almost like Rachman al-Litzlan, these Gestapo-type Egyptians, and of course the Shotrim, those that were directly in charge of the Jewish people, namely other Jews, were now submitted themselves to beating. They were being beaten mercilessly. They took the heat on behalf of the Jewish people. And of course, there were many, many complaints. Of course, they came in, were screaming at Paro, how could you do this? We have no straw. How do you expect us to make bricks? And of course, Paro said, you're a bunch of lazy people. You're full of lassitude. And they essentially threw up their hands in despair. And right away, they meet Moshe and Aaron, and they indicate, look what you've done to us. You've desiccated us. You've completely destroyed us. They're telling their own manhigim. So Moshe Rabbeinu literally has no choice but to go back to Hashem. Those are the last three psukim of Shmos. Vayosha Moshe al Hashem vayomar. He tells Hashem, Lama hariyosa lama zeh, lama zeh shlachtoni. Why did you send me on this mission? Why did you deputize me to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? The situation seems to have aggravated, seems to have deteriorated. Things have gotten worse as opposed to getting better. Where's the Hatzalah? Where's the Geula? Where's the redemption? Hashem responds to Moshe calmly. Don't worry. I will take good care of Paro and his cohorts. They will be driven away, and Klal Yisrael will be zocheh to Geula. So Mefarshim here have different interpretations. What exactly was going on? The Ibn Ezra contends that Moshe Rabbeinu understood, okay, he knew that Paro was going to send Klal Yisrael out. If you look earlier, again on page number one, on the upper right-hand corner, there Moshe Rabbeinu is the beginning of last week's parasha of Shemos. It's told by Hashem, you're going to have a shlichus. You're being designated for a mission to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Eventually, you're going to worship Hashem on Har Sinai. And Hashem tells him, if you look in the page in front of you, upper right-hand corner describes the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu. A bit below that, I underlined it. Hashem tells him, it's not going to be an easy, a simple kind of mission. Only after being subjected to terrible makos, one beating after the next, one patch after the next, then Paro will send you free. And then, of course, the situation will be of a more positive nature. So Moshe Rabbeinu was fully aware of this. Hashem told this to him at the very outset. So what is happening? Why is he complaining? So the Ibn Ezra says that Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that Paro was going to send Klal Yisrael out, that he knew from what Hashem had told him. But he felt that the situation was so difficult and so cumbersome for Klal Yisrael, he wanted the shibud to be lightened. He wanted to be lessened. He wanted to diminish the pain and the sevel, the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And instead, what does he see? I'm sent on a mission, and it's just getting worse. The Ramban interprets the Psukim when Moshe Rabbeinu says here at the end of lower left-hand corner, end of Shemos, V'hatzelo Yitzalta, Moshe wanted Geula. Moshe wanted redemption. Moshe understood that Paro obviously is not going to send them out till he is going to be subjected to Makos, but he thought that Hashem will do so immediately. Paro will be stricken, will be smitten. The Makos will come forthwith, right away, one after the next, and nothing has happened. It's gotten worse. And the Ramban brings a medrash that till the Gzeira that Paro now imposed, that they're not even going to be given straw, and then the Shotrim and Yisrael were being hit. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Rabban quotes the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu left the scene. He went to Midian. He decided to spend 6 months in Midian. He wasn't even there. And then Hashem told him, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, come back. Those are the psukim that are also found here. Ki Mesu Kol HaNoshim HaMavakshim Es Nafshecha. Your life is no longer in danger from those who wanted to kill you. So it says in the Pasuk, and the way the Medrash describes it, Moshe Rabbeinu was not even there. But Moshe Rabbeinu sees that we are very far from the Gula. And so he tells Hashem, why did you send me? Why did you make the situation worse? So Hashem says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. There's a sefer called the Magid Meshorim. The Magid Meshorim is a sefer written by the Beis Yosef of Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, a very striking sefer. It seems that a malach appeared to the Beis Yosef, and based on that which he heard from the malach, he wrote an entire sefer. I mentioned many times that in the Beis Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, wrote the Mechaber, and he wrote the Beis Yosef, which of course, as a commentary on the Torah, and then he summarized it in the Shulchan Aruch itself. We don't find anything Kabbalistic. But yet, the Beis Yosef had a Magid, a Malach who appeared to him and told him all kinds of things. And he gives Musa to the Beis Yosef. He tells him about his wife, the level that she's on, a very, very high level. But here, the Beis Yosef also cites from the Magid a very striking explanation of this pasuk to resolve the question that we asked at the very beginning of this year. Namely, why the double lashon vayidaber as opposed to vayomer? Why the Shem Elokim as opposed to the Shem Hashem? One is lashon kosher, one is lashon raka. For example, the term dibur, we had it earlier in the context of Yosef and his brothers. When the brothers report back to Yaakov, they say that Yosef accused them of being spies when they went down to Egypt. And they tell Yaakov Avinu, dibur, Ha'ish Adonai Ha'aretz Itanu Kashos. He spoke to us very, very harshly. So there we see the language of Dibur is the language of Lashon Kasha. Difficult, harsh language. And Elokim, we said, is Midas Adin. Hashem is Midas Rachamim. So the Magid Meshorim, this Malach, told the Beis Yosef the following. The Pshat in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu apparently didn't understand, Hashem doesn't operate the way human beings would like Hashem to operate. How do we want Hashem to operate with us? We want complete and total clarity. We want to know where we are, what's happening, what's going on. We want full understanding, full comprehension. Hashem told Moshe, according to the way the Magid told the Beis Yosef, Lo drochai darcheichem velo darcheichem drochai. My ways are not your ways and your ways are not my ways. How do I operate, said Hashem? I operate with Midas Adin and Midas Rachamim simultaneously. You think that there should be only Midas Rachamim. So then things should be clear. Or only Midas Adin, and things should be clear. Of course, we prefer Midas Rachamim. You want the Gula. That's not the way the Gula is going to come about. The Gula is going to come about, and there will be a hybrid. There will be elements of Din, elements of Rachamim, moments of light, and moments of darkness. And truthfully, I believe that the situation that we are presently in is a beautiful description of this pasuk. The world is in turmoil. COVID-19, which I always say jokingly, is no great COVID, no great honor. The entire world collapsed. Literally. It did not make a difference whether you are someone who is egalitarian, Democrat, Republican, libertarian, communist, socialist, whatever you are, the impact was across the board. And COVID-19 is Midas Adin, unquestionably. It's the shame of Elokim, the shame of Midas Adin in its most severe fashion, tragedy and carnage in its wake. Of course, in the meantime, we have your politicians in the United States, each one with more gaiva than the other, each one with more ego, Then the other, the Gemara says in Saita, Talmud Chacham is allowed to have an eighth of gaiva, of arrogance. Baruch Hashem, they have 1,000% gaiva. So of course they're trying to take down the President of the United States, who's not an easy fellow to understand. That's the understatement of the year. He's done a lot of wonderful things for the state of Israel. And certainly, in some respects, it's a bit chaval that he won't be there for a second term. Recently, what happened in the Capitol was absolutely unconscionable. Any sentient, rational human being understands that, even those who are his supporters. So what are we doing now? We forgot about COVID. COVID is no longer. COVID is gone. Now we have to impeach the president 8, 9, 10 days before he leaves the office. That's all we have to focus on. That is the sole issue that the world faces. People are dying left and right. People are getting COVID left and right. The tachlua, which means the percentage of people who are getting COVID, is increasing. But that's irrelevant. That's not important. What's important, we got to take that president down. So, of course, we solved the COVID problem, and half the world doesn't even know there is COVID. Who wears masks? Why should I? Why should I socially distance? What's the point? I've had enough. The Torah tells us in this week's parsha that we just read, "V'lo shamu el Moshe mikaytzei ruach me'avodah kasha." They had enough. Enough of masks. Enough of distancing. Leave me alone. The only significant element that I have to deal with now is Donald Trump and his antics. That's the most important thing on the table. So on the one hand, it looks like tohu vavohu, turmoil, writ large. On the other hand, there's a vaccine. I could actually trace for you what happened in the last 9 months, if you don't mind my doing so. Briefly, of course. Around Purim time, we were all Baruch Hashem enjoying our Purim. Layhudim ha'isoyo v'simcha v'sasun v'ikar. And suddenly we got wind of some corona that seemed to be in the atmosphere. It seemed to get worse. Unfortunately, tragically, people, even great tzaddikim, died. And of course, right away, I can only speak about Eretz Yisrael. I can't talk about what happened in Chutz Laaretz. I'm not so familiar. To me, it seems like nothing happened over there. But here, at least, we had a lockdown, a kind of formal lockdown. After 2 or 3 months, it was pretty severe. But then, thank God, things came down. And Baruch Hashem, once again, we saw the Midas HaRachamim. And once again, things came back to where they were before. Seemingly, people were once again involved in the economy. And we opened things up. And then suddenly there's an increase in COVID again. And of course, a second lockdown. And finally a third lockdown. But now we have the vaccine. So all our problems are solved. No masks, no distancing. Oh, Hashem, take you. Eliyahu HaNavi has arrived in the scene. Tishbi Yitariz Kushus Rabbis. Oh, what about those mutations? South African strain, Great Britain strain, all kinds of strains. This vaccine only works if you wear one kind of kippah. But if you wear another kind of kippah, it doesn't work anymore. Nachamo, turmoil, hullabaloo. What is going on over here? The answer is, says the Maggid to the Beis Yosef, this is how Hashem operates. There are moments of din, and moments of rachamim. It's not crystal clear. It's not all clarity. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, midas hadin. But at the same time, certainly, vayomer elav ani Hashem, midas harachamim. We are constantly being challenged. So going back to the psukim, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is now realizing. Hashem tells him, I don't operate the way you do. You think everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray around here as well. And that's true in more ways than one. Your generation likes things to be black and white. Everything should be crystal clear. My generation realizes that there are many complexities in the world that we face. Not everything is black. Not everything is white. There's a fair amount of gray. So even though we see what seems to be nitzotzos of geula, sparks of geula. But there are difficulties. There are challenges. And sometimes the situation seems to be even worse than it was before. There's a pasuk in Zechariah on page number 2. In the right-hand corner, the second notation, the Navi speaks about la'asi lavo, speaks about the future. The Navi says, "Hinei yom bo l'Hashem v'chulak sholech b'kirbeich." And then the Navi tells us that at one point in time, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to enter the scene, and you look in the left-hand column now, in the Baxton Sukkim, "V'hoye b'yom ahu lo yeh or yikarot v'kipaon, v'hoye yom ehu hu yivadal Hashem, lo yom v'lo layla. It will neither be day nor night. V'hoye leis erev, towards the evening, yeh or." So Rashi says that before the Gula, there'll be a ben hashmashos, a kind of twilight situation. It will neither be day nor will be night. The Radak says we won't know whether it's day or night because there'll be a lack of clarity. But at the end, unquestionably, there will be light. At the end, everything will be clear. So we don't fully grasp what is happening. Given the nature of all the different forces that are operating in the world today, we don't understand pshat. We see din, we see rachamim, we see COVID, we see the vaccine. We see regimes going up, regimes going down. This is Darkei Hashem. But we know, we firmly believe, ani ma'amin be'emunah shleima, that there will be a geula, and that geula will bring about an incredible light. The Chafetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha commented, the psukim also found here in Vayera on page number 2 in the lower right hand corner, in the context of the malachim who came to Avraham and Sarah Imenu, who were elderly, and it seemed from a perspective of Midas Hadin, there's no way they could possibly have children. They were in the 100 range, and naturally, there's no way they could have children. And the Malachim tell Avraham, "Vayom Reila, Vayisaru Ishtecha, Vayom Hinei Va'Oel," and they indicate that a year from now, she will have a child, and Sarah is listening. And the Torah describes how Avraham and Sarah is the Canaan born by Yomim. They no longer, al piteva, had the ability to have children. And of course, what was her reaction? Batitzchak Sarah bekir b'leimar. Internally, she sort of chuckled. My husband, an octogenarian, and I, an elderly woman, we're going to have children? Seems to be absolutely impossible. Why did she chuckle inwardly? And then the language of the Torah is so striking and remarkable. Is there anything that's not possible Hashem is barach to carry out? A year from now, Sarah is going to have a child. So the Chafetz Chaim asks, why is the Torah so prolix? Why is the Torah so verbose in this back and forth that the Torah has over here? And seemingly the Torah even speaks not so positively about Sarah Imenu. And then Sarah goes on, "Vatechachei Sarah lemor," the last pasuk on the bottom, "Lo tzachokti ki yareya." I didn't really chuckle. I didn't laugh. I was frightened. And Hashem responds, "No, ki tzachok." So the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal says, this is a remez. At the end of Golus, at the end of the exile, many Jews will think there's no way that we could be al safa geula. We could be literally at the cusp of redemption. Just like Sarah did not believe there could be a shini ateva, that Hashem could transform her nature. Acharei belosi haisali edna v'adoni zokein. We also, many of us, do not believe that Ribbono Shel Olam can bring about a geula. It's amazing to me, among the incredible nisim that occurred in the last number of months under President Trump, who's unfortunately no longer going to be the president, We are amazed at the number of Arab countries that have now made peace with the state of Israel. You want to talk about Nisim Gluyim? You want to talk about overt miracles? In my lifetime, I never thought I'd be zochet to see anything like this. Relationship with the Emirates, with Bahrain, with Sudan, with Morocco. And of course now, all the chassidus are taking place over there. Everyone's getting married over there. Of course, there you don't have to worry about COVID. There is Gan Eden Natachton. No problem. It's paradise. Writ large. You can go there with impunity. No masks. No social distancing. Of course, after these chassidus, what do you have? A lot of COVID. A big COVID. Yezeichetu. But that's not a ness. I don't know what is a ness. Countries that are at war with us for decades, that want to destroy us, throw us into the sea. And suddenly, the shliach, yes, the shliach of Hashem Yisbarach, President Donald Trump, is the one who brings about, together with Netanyahu, of course, and the Arab countries, bring about these incredible nisa. Harbe shluchim lamokom. Ribbono Shel Olam has many different types of shluchim, many emissaries, all kinds of emissaries. Some of them are very colorful. Some of them are rambunctious. Some of them are reckless. We know about those. But look what they've accomplished. Okay. The president said, no need for masks. There's no COVID. It doesn't exist. What's science? Whom are doctors? We never heard of those things. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, look at these incredible peace treaties, and maybe there might even be shalom with the Arab countries on the horizon. There's a medrash in Shashirim, also quoted by the Psukim over here I have on the page, in the lower left-hand corner of page 2, called Do Dihine Zibba, Midaleg Al Harim, Mikapetz Al Agvot. The medrash quotes the Machlugis, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda said, B'sho Shoma Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu came and told Klal Yisrael, B'chodesh Hazeh Atem Nigolim, this month, the month of Nisan, the Chodesh HaGeula, you're going to be redeemed. Amulo, heich, how's that possible? Valo, it doesn't say in the Pasuk, V'abodim V'inu Al-Samar B'amir Shona, V'adayin En B'yodenu Elo Redu Shonim, we've only been here for 210 years in Mitzrayim, and didn't the Bris Van Absorim project a much longer period of time? Arba Meu Shona. Amar Lohem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Hoil V'chafetz B'gulaschem, Hashem wants your geula, your redemption. Eino Madbit B'cheshben Oseichem. He's not going to look at all these calculations. Midalag Al Akitzim. He will skip. He'll jump. And again, Rabbi Nechemya said, they didn't believe. And we don't have Masim Tovim. How can we be redeemed? We're not frum. We're not observant. We're not some adaktiv mitzvahs. The reaction was, if Hashem wants the geula, he's not going to look at your actions. But rather, where will he look? He'll look at the tzaddikim, Amram, Yocheved, Miriam, Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chacham, in the third opinion, says, how are we going to be redeemed when all Mitzrayim is wallowing in Avodah Zarah and there's no emuna? And again, the response is, Hashem is not looking in the Avodah Zarah. Hashem can miraculously, in a split-second synchronized way, remove the Lev HaEvan from us. We can see the picture in its total clarity. Hashem is able to be Ma'oriah Klal Yisrael. And the truth of the matter is that there has been a fair amount of Hisorivus as a result of the COVID-19. Many, many people who thought somehow that my savvy, my ability to be savvy in technology and my knowledge of medicine and my knowledge in general of science, I'm on top of the world. Nothing could take me down. One little Kalena virus took the whole world down. Mind-boggling how Hashem operates. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand the way Hashem operates. And Hashem told him, Lo drachai dachechem velo dachechem derachai. You thought the gula is going to come instantaneously. That's not the way I operate. There are elements of din and elements of rachamim that somehow work simultaneously. But the ultimate gula, it's going to come. Atosira asher esel lefaro. And the same undoubtedly here will be zochet to the gula. Hopefully, amidst Hashem, the vaccine will be able to completely and totally do away with this terrible pandemic. Not only are we obligated to believe in the coming of Mashiach, but the Brisker Rav writes, based on the Lashon HaRambam, we have to anticipate the coming of Mashiach. Ani mamin be'emuna shleima. Even though there may be some delays, but we know that Hashem is Barach will bring about the Geula. And that Geula, Bo Yavo, is going to come. Not only does the Din converge together with Rachamim, but there's a mistake. People think the Midas HaDin is Din. It's not true. Even the Midas HaDin of Hashem is Barach is also Rachamim. There's a Gemara in Psochim. All of you, or most of you, may have learned it at the end of the fourth parak. But the Gemara indicates pretty clearly this yisod, this idea. The Gemara comments at the end of the fourth parak of Psochim, of Mokim Shenago, incredibly striking Gemara. It's actually let me just cite to you the Gemara. I meant at the end of the third parak of Elu Ovrim. So perhaps you saw it, perhaps you didn't. But the Gemara comments, "Vahoyah Hashem leMelech al Kol Aretz, Bayomahu Yi Hashem Echad Ishmo Echad." Hashem will be the king over the entire universe. That day, it will be Hashem Echad Ishmo Echad. Ask the Gemara, today it's not Echad. The Gemara says, Olam Hazeh is different than Olam Haba. In Olam Hazeh, we have two separate brachas. When we hear good news, we make the bracha HaTov HaMeitiv. When we hear bad news, we say Dayan Ames. But the Olam Haba, it will only be HaTov HaMeitiv. There's no such thing as a Besor Ra. In effect, what the Gemara is saying, that even that which we seemingly sometimes think is Midas HaDin, is really Midas HaRachamim. We don't appreciate it, however, because we interpret things in a very human kind of way. We say on Monday, which is today, in the Shir Shalom, is the following pasuk that appears. Diminu Elokim, and I'll translate it in light of what I'm saying. That which we thought was Elokim was Midas HaDin, as I mentioned earlier. Elokim is Din, Elokim is Teva, Elokim are laws of nature, immutable laws of nature. That which we thought was Elokim, Chazdecha Bekerev Echalecha. We think it's Midas HaDin. In the Cheshbeinus of Hashem is Barach, it's all Chesed. We don't realize sometimes that what appears to be Midas HaDin, namely, I didn't get the job I wanted, I didn't somehow succeed with the young woman that I went out with, I thought she was going to be the one. And very often, and if we actually have a very clear vision of things, we will realize, Kol man di avi rachman l'tov avi. Whatever Hashem does is for the good. We don't always see it that way, because to us immediately, in our specific circumstances, it seems bad. But in reality, when one has a panoramic vision, when one has a long-term kind of vision, and one looks back, and I can do so because I'm older than all of you. That's the only Maila I have over you is age. And with age comes a bit of experience. Ein chochem kabal nisayon. I look back at my life and I see how wonderful Hashem Yisbarach has been to us. The unbelievable chesed. Of course, there are ups and downs all over the place. Yeridos, aliyos. But every yerida was the Torah Chaliyah. And so finally, the Torah actually presents to us as well. And here you have it. On page number two, in the upper right-hand corner, the Dalet L'shono Shel Geula. V'hotzeisi V'hitzalti, v'galti, v'lokachti, v'heveisi. The fifth lashon of Geula, which of course is v'heveisi. It's very fascinating that I heard from Marabeim, who actually, some of them were zochet and other Chavetz Chaim, Zechatzarek Debracha. So many, many years ago, when the Balfour Declaration emerged, which essentially was a document indicating we're going to have a national homeland, which ultimately became the State of Israel. So the Chavetz Chaim was very frightened. And the Chavetz Chaim described this Balfour Declaration, I'll say the Yiddish that I heard from my Rabbeim, a weiße Papier mit schwarze Zoros, a white paper with black Zoros. What does that mean? The Chavetz Chaim was frightened that even though Hashem is giving us a tremendous matana, the potential for an unbelievable matana, the State of Israel, and the opportunity to live as Jews and to connect to our heritage, to our Masorah. But the Chavetz Chaim was worried, was frightened that perhaps that would not necessarily be the case. It would not necessarily happen. So here we have in the Parsha, the Dalet Lashono Shel Geula, the Hotzesi, the Itzalti, the Galti, the Lokachti, the Evesi. There's a Yerushalmi, fascinating Yerushalmi, because Chazal ordained that we drink four cups of wine at the Pesach Seder, and Yerushalmi discusses what these four cups of wine represent. And those of you who've learned Arvi Psochim know that the Rashbam and Rashi referred to the four cups, four expressions of redemption found in this week's Parsha that I just mentioned. But there's a fifth expression, Vehevesi, to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. And we find Rishonim who ruled that Chazal, in fact, established that we should drink five cups of wine. Many Rishonim were of the opinion the fifth cup was never decreed, and that's the meaning that we have today. Some claim that the fifth cup is poured but not drunk. This cup is referred to as the Keshel Elio, because when Elio will arrive announcing the Geula, he'll resolve all the disputes in halachic rulings. And among the many doubts he resolves is whether or not we have to drink this fifth cup. He'll also resolve that as well. So, undoubtedly, we see b'chayenu in our lives, Baruch Hashem, many, many more people are coming to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is becoming a kibbutz galios, and unquestionably, this haftocha v'hevesi is also going to come to fruition as well. Of course, when the nevuah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael is still in Egypt. However, Hashem already told us that we're going to emerge, diminu Elokim, namely the Makos and the entire Shibud Mitzrayim, all that was Minas Adin, but it was in order to bring us to a Matzav of Chesed and to ultimately the Geula. And that's what we see actually in the redemption process. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, he asked for simonim. He wanted signs that he could use to convince them that the time of redemption had arrived. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need signs? Why didn't he simply take out a calendar, show them that 400 years had passed from the time that the decree was issued? The answer is it was not clear when the 400-year count began. Rishonim even discussed this. Perhaps it began with their descent to Egypt. Perhaps it began with the beginning of the bondage. Perhaps it began with the birth of Yitzchak. So Moshe needed signs to prove to Klal Yisrael the time of redemption had begun. And the same applies to Kimat, many, many nevuos that are in Tanakh. A large portion of Sefer Yeshayahu is devoted to nevuos and nechama, prophecies of consolation. And the Mefarshim discuss whether these nevuos are going to come to pass in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, in the days of Ayisheni, or perhaps only in the future. So it's likely that ultimately everything depends on us. Everything depends on our behavior. Everything depends on how ma'amin we are in Hashem Yisbarach, how committed we are. And unquestionably, we have the opportunity to hasten the Geula, to hasten the redemption. The more we are involved in Torah and Mitzvahs, the more we are involved in Chesed, if we are Zoche, we'll have no need for masks, we'll have no need for social distancing. Ribbono Shel Olam will bring about the Geula, but as the Beis Yossi was told by the Magid, it's not going to happen the way you, Moshe Rabbeinu, think, the way many think, black and white, all din or all rachamim. There'll be a mix of din and rachamim. And this we see in our own day and age. And just as the Gula occurred for Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Halavai Bikorov, this vaccine will, the Mitzvah Hashem, eliminate the pandemic, and Halavai, upon the heels of that, we should be Zoche, Ki Meitzeischom Eretz Mitzrayim, Arenu Niflos. Just as Hashem is Barach, did Niflos for us, wonders in leaving Mitzrayim, L'mala Midarach HaTeva, Halavai, we should be Zoche, to similar Niflos, V'yameinu Anu, Amen V'yamein.
Thank you, Shiva.
Thank you, Shiva. Have a good night. Be well. How are you? See you still on.